Hi, I'm Hobie.
I'm G.
I'm Strangey.
Why is that funny?
Oh, God. This is Tales of Togger, a WhatsApp group podcast packed full of absolute nonsense and some football. Like and subscribe, is that what they say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah? How do they like and subscribe?
Just like, and I don't know, mate.
We don't know. Just that'll do.
Go to Tales of Togger Twitter. I'll post the link.
Like it. Welcome back again, because what a few days we've had at Tales of Togger HQ Bears, the HQ. What's happened, lads, is we recorded an episode. It was brilliant. There was tantrums. There was tears. There was Nuno Espirito Santo, or whatever he's called, playing Carlos Santana on a stag do. And it's all gone. It's gone. Hello.
It's absolutely tragic. Honestly, arguably the best episode of any podcast ever made.
And yeah, it's massive shame. Massive shame. Yeah.
Technology fucked us.
Yeah, so we recorded on Saturday morning. Great podcast. I think we were all in agreement. It was the funniest one that we'd done, most enjoyable one. And yeah, couldn't release it because with the standards that we have for this podcast, G. I mean, they're so high, we will not release shoddy content, will we?
We were a bit disappointed in the editing team because I'm sure they could have worked something out and moved some things around, but off we go again.
Rumour has it that the editing team hasn't been paid.
Yeah, listen, you'll get a dollar when we get to 1,000 listens on Spotify. All right, stop whinging.
Well, how much are Newell's Jewels putting into this?
Well, see, this is the thing. They've pulled it. They've pulled out now because obviously they were expecting some exposure on Saturday to get a good push over the weekend. And as a result, they've fucked us off. So,
yeah, well, just to confirm, no one has any idea who Newell's Jewels are at this point. So you sound crazy.
Probably I think it's quite self-explanatory, mate.
You think Newell's Jewels is self-explanatory? For Mike Newell, after his football career, taking up the jewellery business and having a specialism in the, what was it, Strangey?
It was the clarity and the cut of diamonds. But, listen, we can't talk about them on here because they've pulled and they'll sue us. And we ain't got the money to pay for it, so.
No, fair. Very fair.
All right.
George, how have you been in the last few days? All right?
Yeah, good, mate. Very good. Just ticking it up, you know. I've not put much effort into this, I won't lie, but I like it to be more organic anyway.
Yeah, I mean, par for the course, really. I mean, you do no notes, Strangey. You do lots of notes, is that right?
Yeah, take notes, mate. You know, like to plan ahead. But yeah, I think that's what makes the show, isn't it? A bit very contrasting style.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one final question before we get started. Scientifically, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Honestly, don't do this.
Yeah, I can't remember. You did tell us, but I can't remember. It was incorrect anyway, whatever you said.
Great quiz question. Great quiz question.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Okay, on this week's re-record, we're going to go through our... I mean, it is a bit of a... It's a shoehorn job, isn't it? Because we usually have a week to prepare. We float around some ideas. But obviously, all 70 or 80 of our unique listeners that we get each week, they just want content. That's all they want right now. Yeah, they just want anything. So we've put together our best Premier League, the best Premier League 11 of all time. We'll each have a go at that, a lot like our England 11. And then we're going to have a look at what happened this weekend in the Premier League. So, George, you say you haven't put any effort in. So can we suggest that maybe if we were to ask you this tomorrow, your Premier League 11 might be completely different?
No, there's a few stalwarts in there, isn't there? I mean, there's very obvious ones.
Yeah. I mean, those fill me with dread, those ones. They're obvious to you. But Strangey, what about you? Were you at the point where you were mulling anything over too much?
Yeah, I think I was. I think, there was one position in particular where I was umming and ahhing for a good 5-10 minutes about three or four possible players going in. But I've made a decision. I'm going to stick to it. Listen, if I get backlash for it, it's one of them, isn't it?
No, too right. Well, I think the position to get started that we'll all be in agreement with, or certainly, Stranger, you and I will be in agreement with, is the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper, who have you chosen? Stranger.
Peter Schmeichel.
Yep.
I think it's a very obvious choice. I think Peter Schmeichel is probably the best goalkeeper of my lifetime who I've seen, besides maybe Gianluigi Buffon. And obviously he's never played in the Premiership. So, yeah, Peter Schmeichel, cut and dry for me, that.
So other contenders in there would be Van der Sar, David Seaman. What did you think that Peter Schmeichel had over those two as two examples?
Well, my actual second choice wouldn't have been either of those. It would have been Petr Cech, I think. But
fair shout.
Peter Schmeichel was just the, what I like to call, what I love about a goalkeeper. He was the ultimate in commanding his penalty area. You'd see him fucking steam out and pick catches up off the penalty spot, you know, like it was nothing. He organised that back four. He was a very angry man, but I think sometimes you need that in a goalkeeper. He was just such a presence, wasn't he? I think he just filled that rest of that team with confidence from the back forward.
He had a bit of a scrap with Roy Keane, as the story goes. Who's our money on? Roy Keane or Schmeichel?
I think Roy Keane could batter anyone, to be fair.
Yeah, apart from Duncan Ferguson. I don't think even he trifled Duncan Ferguson. That's fair, isn't it?
Very fair.
Honestly, I dread to ask. Go on. Brad. Is it Brad Friedel?
No, actually, I had a bit of...
For me?
Yeah. I mean, can we just stop calling him Peter? Because, I mean, it's quite literally missing an extra E. It is Petter, isn't it?
Well, Petter. I like to call him Checky.
You do? Oh. So, any rationale for that?
He's just the best, isn't he?
Yeah, honestly, I knew you'd say that. And you're going to do that all the way through this, aren't you?
He's just the best, isn't he? Well, no.
Yeah, go on, substantiate your view. I mean, you've got a good candidate there, but why? Give us.
I just think in his prime, and then prime years, what did he do? He can see like 12 or something in that season.
I don't know the exact number. I mean, if it's a point you were going to raise, would you not check it?
It was around 12, I'm sure of that.
Right.
Maybe 15, but around that number anyway. Yeah, and he was just, I just think he's better than Peter Schmeichel. Peter Schmeichel, he got lobbed a lot, famously.
You mean once by Philip Albert, and that's what's just gone into your head, yeah?
No, famously he got lobbed a lot. It's quite well known.
That's not a thing.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to doubt Schmeichel, good player, but yeah, Peter Cech for me.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Strange in that I think Schmeichel was the best. I think he was the most vocal. I did think that he went on a little too long. I thought that the perfect time for him to start sort of winding down was when he left United. For him to leave, go to, I think it was Sporting Lisbon, and end up back in the Premier League tarnished it a bit for me. What a goalkeeper. Okay, let's go on to the... are we all playing a back four, G?
4-4-2, I've gone.
4-4-2. And what about you, Stranger? Yeah, 4?
Yeah, 4-4-2, absolutely.
Okay, well, let's start with the two centre-backs. Stranger, who is occupying those berths?
My two centre-backs are John Terry and Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah?
Yeah, bit of a contrasting style. Terry, just an absolute shithouse, just a born winner, brave, strong, the kind of guy you just want in your side when you were clinging onto a 1-0 in the 90th minute. He'd just clear out everything and take control in there. Rio, a bit more classy, obviously a bit more of an athlete, certainly in his younger days, could get about the pitch, and a bit more of a better ball player than John Terry. I think there'd potentially be a good partnership there, besides the fact that they absolutely hate each other, so...
Yeah, of course. Yeah, after the infamous allegations of John Terry's
comments towards his brother Anton Ferdinand. What about you, G? Where have your centre back places gone to?
So I've got Terry and Vidic.
Terry and Vidic, yeah.
Yeah, again, it's quite hard. They're just the best, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a good show.
Yeah, the best of their chosen fields. Terry, it was just, he won everything, didn't he? Both of them, to be fair. They just, that's what I wanted a defender. No nonsense. Get rid. Yeah, and I just think they were the best two at that.
Yeah.
Honourable mentions Colin Hendry, obviously.
Why would that be, mate? Why would there be an honourable mention to him?
Because you could easily make a case for Colin, couldn't you?
No. Please, no, please do make that case. That would be great.
Just again, well, the third best centre back in Premier League history. So if you were to play a back three, Colin gets in, unfortunately, due to the formation. He's on bench.
Right. Fair enough. Is there anything that you remember Colin Hendry being particularly astute at?
Just all out defending.
Right. Okay. Listen, I've asked you four or five questions now. If you continue to be this generic, we'll cut you off.
Yeah, we'll have a two-man show.
Yeah, honestly. I agree with you, Strange, on Ferdinand. I've gone Tony Adams. I think Tony Adams was just unbelievable. Got further than John Terry for England, part of that Euro 96 team. I say that. I've got visions of him playing in Euro 96, but I am right in that, aren't I? My memory isn't playing tricks on me.
Genuinely can't remember at all, mate.
Yeah, he must have done. He must have done. But
he must have been.
John Terry won more than him. So if we're going on.
Yeah. No, it's not. Just to finish the point, yeah, that's what I remember. Tony Adams versus Scotland, and yeah, absolutely. Brilliant centre back, went further. John Terry couldn't do that. So John Terry needed Roman Abramovich's millions around him to win silverware.
Hold on. Just mute this.
What are you muting there, mate? Talk to us.
That's my UK phone. I'm guessing I've tried to order some cigarettes, and I'm guessing that's them calling.
Right. So how would you like to proceed at this point, mate?
Left back or right back, either way.
No. I meant more with the cigarette order. Do you need to go?
Oh, no. I can sort that later.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Cheers for putting us first.
Why don't you tell the listeners about how much money you owe John the Bath wine man?
No, I don't think we should go into that.
No. How many bottles have you bought from him that you've yet to pay for?
44, I think we're at.
Or. Right. So, just tell us about the winemaking process of John.
Well, he's not called John, first of all. But hey, fair enough. What's he called? I won't use his name on Earth. So, yeah, we'll go with the earliest John.
What do you mean? What do you mean on the airwaves? What do you think is going to? It's not illegal to make Bath wine.
Well, it definitely is. But anyway, we'll carry. So, what are we going on? Let's move on. I don't know the process, do I? Or else I'll do it myself.
So, Tony Adams, sorry, I just want to qualify what I said there. He got further in international tournaments than John Terry, as we know, and he also has silverware, obviously, these days at Arsenal. Just a supreme centre-back for me. Narrowly pips Vidic. John Terry, obviously in the top five of the Premier League era, which is a huge statement. I just don't think he's one of the very, very top. Let's go on to fullbacks. G, who's your right back?
Right back. I haven't really thought of this. Gary Neville, I'd say. No, it's a position. No, you know what I mean? No one cares who your right back is, did he? I'm going to go Gary Neville because he just stands out, doesn't he, I guess? Maybe because he was in that United team that won everything and won for so long.
But yeah, maybe I'll change my idea while I listen to you too. But for me, Gary Neville.
Right. I mean, can I just say, on Saturday, when the recording went wrong, I'm pretty sure either it was your suggestion to do year 11 or Strangey suggested it and you very quickly said, yeah, I'm up for that. And then you've been pestering us ever since to re-record and you've not done an ounce of homework, have you?
I've put quite a bit of thought into my centre midfield.
All right, OK. We look forward to that. Strangey, what about yourself? Gary Neville?
Yeah, it's Gary Neville. Yeah, I just think... when I was thinking about it, I don't think we've really been blessed with the creme de la creme of right-backs, have we, really? I think he's just the one that stands out as a... He's nice and solid. He was sort of good at all aspects of being a fullback back in the day, but not really great at any, just kind of nice and solid and good. And, yeah, he had the right attitude, is what I'd say stands out for him as well. And him and Bex down that right-hand side were deadly, weren't they? Because he just... I think when they were playing 4-4-2 a lot more back in the sort of like late 90s, early 2000s, your fullback wasn't as expected to get forward and overlap and do as much of the forward work that we do see in today's sort of fullback game. So, yeah, I think he's the standout for me, yeah.
Yeah, I've gone the same, but begrudgingly so, because I think even Neville himself would admit, I don't think he was technically brilliant. He was a pretty good defender. If he played right back more than left back, I would have said Dennis Irwin was by far the superior right back. But I think it'd be unfair to shoehorn him in there. Neville, very, very decent. I guess the question I have is, how far would Gary Neville get in today's game? Where he's quicker, the pitches are better, it's more tactical. I'm just not sure, unlike the rest of my 11, I'm not sure how... If he reached the same height, but definitely a worthy right back for any team, I guess, when you look at his trophy haul. Yeah. Left backs, I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. My left back, and I just want to just tell you that he played 412 games. He scored 32 goals. 32 goals being third amongst players who played primarily in defence. 53 assists, which is the most among those who have only played in defence, and 113 clean sheets. It's a no-brainer that the best left-back in Premier League history is Leighton Baines.
Should we just call it there, do we think? And just...
I mean, we knew this was coming, didn't we? We knew this was coming, and I've got nothing really to say to it. You know what I mean?
Have you put yourself on loudspeaker there, mate?
No, I've got it bathroom. I think the acoustics might be a bit different. I'll move back.
Yeah, just don't go to the bathroom during the podcast. Right.
Yeah, don't go to the bathroom. Don't eat broccoli. Don't take phone calls off your cigarette. Just give us your time.
Yeah, if that's all right, G. I mean, I'll be honest, it's not as if you put any other time into prepping. You might as well be in the hour.
Yeah, apologies. As I was saying, I can't even bother discussing it because it's ridiculous, isn't it? We've been over it. Leighton Baines is not better than Ashley Cole. Nobody who doesn't support Everton, I think, has ever said that.
That's not true, because I'm looking at a interview here that was done between Paddy McKenna, whoever the hell that is, and Dion Fanning. Discussing it on Sports Joe. Paddy McKenna thinks that Leighton Baines is the greatest left back in the history of the Premier League.
Is Paddy McKenna support?
Let's have a look. Let's have a look while we're on right now. I'll tell you, he is a huge, huge fan, doesn't say, but he's head of content at Joe, Sports Joe.
Well, I won't be listening to them then.
So, come on, Strangey, who's yours?
Ashley Cole. In my notes, I've just wrote Ashley Cole. He's the best. Don't start with your Baines shit because I won't have it. That's what I wrote. That's it.
So, I'll just give you some comparative stats. So, Ashley Cole, despite being in two of the best Premier League teams ever, in the Arsenal Invincibles and then the Jose Mourinho Chelsea, he got just 15 goals despite playing as a left winger.
and 31 assists, despite having some of the greatest.
Despite playing as a what? Sorry.
As a left winger, he didn't have to do much defending, did he, for those two teams?
Well, he was a left back.
With the assists and goals, how many free kicks and penalties did he take? In contrast to Leighton Baines,
are you blaming Leighton Baines for being able to take free kicks and penalties?
Well, no, I'm blaming him for being a team doing the best.
Are you criticizing the man that can do it to the benefit of the man that technically wasn't able to?
Well, I'm talking about someone who was up against the likes of Ballack and Henri when it came to who took free kicks and penalties, not someone who's up against Tony Hibbert.
So you think that if Ashley Cole was playing in that Everton team with Mikel Arteta, for example, you think that Ashley Cole would have been taking them over Mikel Arteta and would have got more than Leighton Baines did?
Probably not, because it's not his game, is it? But
no, that's exactly my point. Anything to add on that? I think it's pretty fair to say that we've cemented Leighton Baines in that spot.
We'll move on.
Anything to add? I'll be looking for another podcast to join at this rate.
Honestly, mate, I don't want to be rude, but you are at the bottom of the barrel with us. Where you think you're going to go to, I have no idea.
Yeah, who's listening to this thinking, hey, these are...
I reckon Sporting Joe are probably looking.
Yeah, very fair.
How many midfield have we gone for? I think, George, you said four in midfield. Strangey?
Yeah, four. Just a full 4-2.
Okay, well, you two go first, because I've gone for three in midfield. So, George, go first.
What do you want me to do, the whole midfield?
Yeah, do the whole one and then talk to us about the balance of the team and why you've chosen them.
Right, so we've got left midfield, Cristiano Ronaldo, just a given. There's not much I can say about Cristiano Ronaldo, is there? He's the best player ever to play football.
So well, it's funny you say that, because you've not been able to say much about anyone so far. So, I mean...
Why
yeah.
Now?
Yeah, wait till me next pick.
But bearing in mind that, you know, you put a lot of thought into your midfield. The first one was Cristiano Ronaldo because, well, I can't say anything, can I? Right.
Yeah, but you've got the best player ever to play football, so you've got to put him in, haven't you? And he's going left wing. Right, so we're moving to the centre. Sitting back, sitting in the dictating the game, you've got two guy.
Right. don't you dare... Oh, don't you dare have a go at me about Leighton Baines when you're basing your two-guy inclusion on him being about 58, looking like he's dying and playing a few passes at Ewood Park. Don't you dare come after me.
So the basis was two-guy, obviously. The thing is with this team, as I've shown with Peter Cech, it's not necessarily, you know what I mean, it's not necessarily longevity. It's who was at the peak for a certain amount of time. And two guy was the best player in the world at Blackburn for about 3 years. he had it all. He could pass.
Do you think he had the legs to play in a two in midfield, mate?
He does, because his
he
partner...
Does. He does now, does he? He does.
17-year-old. Well,
his partner is arguably the best box-to-box midfielder of all time, so...
Right, yeah. So he doesn't...
He'll do the legwork. How done yeah. He did the legwork. Steven Gerrard is my other pick.
Right.
And he'll do the legwork. And again, he speaks for himself, Steven Gerrard, doesn't he? He's just a class above anything we've seen. He basically dragged a mediocre Liverpool team to European Championships, just played above themselves, and he just did it all.
To what? It was to one European Championship.
Yes. And then to a final a couple of years later, FA Cups, just he was phenomenal. Yeah. No one comes close to him, really.
So Steven Gerrard, I mean, the one thing that was labelled that team, and rightly so in my opinion, even though I am biased as an Everton fan, is that he was almost tailor-made for cup football. So the idea of one-off games where he could get his teammates going, and if his teammates couldn't get going, he just basically, like you say, the West Ham game, the AC Milan Champions League finals, Steven Gerrard had it in his locker to say, well, if you guys are all shit, including you, Igor Bishkan,
I'm going to win the game for us. But in a domestic season, 38 games, he just didn't have it in his locker to be able to propel, like you say, an average Liverpool team. And he almost became a moments man rather than anything else. And without the Premier League title, can he be considered one of the greats?
Well, yeah, because Tuchel didn't have a Premier League title either.
Right. So who are you playing right midfield, mate? Yeah, who are you playing right midfield? Let's move on quickly.
Right midfield. I'm probably wrong here. Who have we got? We'll go David Beckham.
Right. Why, mate? Other than the fact that it's a name that you've just seen on your laptop now.
No, just he was just world-class, isn't he? And he proved it. He went to every major league in the world and succeeded. And, yeah, just the best passer of the ball, apart from two guys the league's ever seen. And, yeah, he was
Gerrard, mate? You've just mentioned Gerrard was by far the best midfielder, a league above, I think you said.
Yeah, but I said Beckham's the best passer. He didn't have what Gerrard had, you know what I mean? He couldn't drive forward like Gerrard could. He couldn't, you know what I mean? He would as well. Beckham had that take the game by the scruff of the neck kind of thing, didn't he?
Do you want to have a minute and have a think? And I'll go to Strange and come back.
Yeah, you can do. I'll see if I change my mind.
All right. Strange, who are your four midfielders?
My four midfielders only contain one of G's.
Two, no.
And it's no, oddly, it's not. So I'll go left to right as G did. Left midfield is Ryan Giggs. I mean, his accolades speak for themselves. I think he's the most decorated player in league history. But just an exceptional talent. Obviously, he just had pace. He was a great dribbler of the ball. Just got his fair share of goals, assists, all the stats and all that kind of stuff. Just a real raw sort of explosive talent. And yeah, I think his resume is just ridiculous. So I think it'd be quite tough to leave him off on the left-hand side. I'll do right midfield first, actually. Cristiano Ronaldo, I've put on the right wing. I think he played the right wing more for United at the time. He is arguably, obviously, the best footballer ever. I think he's, you know, in terms of pure talent, probably the best player to play in the league, maybe. Again, you could argue that. I just think it would be remiss to not include him as well. He's just a genius, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Just to interject on your Ryan Giggs point, do you know how many times Ryan Giggs got into double figures?
No, I know it's not very. I know it's not a lot, because I remember Roy Keane and Jamie Carragher discussing it on that classic episode of Monday Night Football when they're combining the two teams.
Yeah, so it's twice. So in the 1993-1994 season, he got 13 league goals. In the 1995-1996 season, he got 11 goals. And then after that season, the most league goals he got in a single season was 8.
I think, though, and it's something I've discussed previously, particularly with fullbacks and things, I don't think wingers got loads of goals then. I think most teams played 4-4-2 and the strikers got 50, 60 goals a season between them. And the rest was spread out quite evenly, well, I think.
What about, so my question to you is, if he's in an all-time 11, why could he not get anywhere near close to the guy who was in the team with him at Man United, albeit in the later years, but Ryan Giggs was still playing 25-plus games a season, and Cristiano Ronaldo? You say that wingers weren't getting that many goals, but Cristiano Ronaldo played on the wing and got huge numbers.
Yeah, but it was a few years later, wasn't it? And the systems were changing. We were playing more 4-3-3, and Ronaldo was playing out on a wide right of a three a lot of the time. I know, obviously, I think before Ronaldo, I'd ask the question, and I don't know the answer, but before Ronaldo came along, how many goals was the highest scoring winger in the league getting every year? Do you know what I mean? I think Giggs at 8 probably would have been one of the highest scoring wingers in the league at the time he was playing. I think it didn't happen that often yet. I don't think back now and think, oh, bloody hell, remember such and such a body getting 10, 15, 20 goals a season from right wing, left wing. I just don't think it happened.
All right, well, let's have a quick look, because we can. Let's start in sort of 1998. Would you say that was when Ryan Giggs was sort of at his peak?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, 96, 97 through to like 01, 02 maybe. Yeah.
Perez and Lundberg with their baggy mark.
So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got 12, Gustavo Poyet got 11, Lee Bow, you got 9. These are still.
But Solskjaer was a striker, though, and Poirier was playing up top as well. So
Gus Poirier was playing up top. No,
Poirier's a central midfielder, isn't he?
He's not. Who else have we got here? The year after, I'm on. You know, veto any of these shouts if they're not midfielders. Marion Pahars. Sorry, I just had to say his name. Gary McAllister got 11 goals from midfield. Let's have a look. Harry Kewell got 10 goals. Nick Barmby got 9. Patrick Berger, 9 goals. There's still...
Yeah, one goal more. It's, I mean, it's...
What?
Bet Nick Barmby talks about that all the time.
What's that?
I got more goals than Ryan Giggs that year.
No, but I think the point is more that every year people are getting more than him.
Yeah, different players. Once, like Nick Barmby once, Lee Bowyer once, Gus Poirier once. I mean, like they're not elite players who are pushing him for the rival of a place in this team, are they? I mean, he's consistently good or above Ryan Giggs. He was one of those players. And again, I stand by my point. Look at the figures there. There's 3 or 4 players a year getting 8 or 9 goals from midfield. He was one of them most years. I think the game's changed a lot now.
I'd like to see when Mortz Gans Pedersen came in, how many he were getting.
Yeah, I mean, he's not on any of the lists. all right. I'm sorry. We got sidetracked there. So who are your 2 centre midfielders?
My 2 centre midfielders are Roy Keane. I think he's the best captain in league history. I think he's very underrated in terms of what he could bring to the game. He could do everything. And I've just put in my notes, he's one of, if not the most complete midfielder in league history. I think Gerrard is certainly in that conversation as well. But I think Roy Keane was like Gerrard a few years before Gerrard was Gerrard. I'm not saying he was better, but he had a similar game, box to box. He could score a few goals. He could help out on the defensive end. And he's just a leader. He's just one of those players who... Again, I said it about John Terry. You just want him in your team if you're wanting to win things, wouldn't you? You just had that elite mentality that he was winning everything and you couldn't faze him, you know?
Yeah. You gave one there. Did you give one?
Oh, yeah, sorry. My second one, probably a bit of a controversial shout this. I don't know how it's going to be received, but certainly no more controversial than a 2 guy. I've gone for David Silva as my other central midfielder. Might be a bit of a prisoner of the moment thing in looking at how City are struggling a bit with life without him and what he brought to that City team. But I've tried to include players who have been in teams that have dominated the league at some point. So every one of these players has starred in a team that have been 2 or 3 times league champions in a short space of time, you know, really had a stranglehold on the league for a short period of time. And he was, I think, the crown jewel for Man City for several years. I know he's surrounded by other brilliant players, but he was Mr. Consistent. He was a little magician. He could just pick up pockets of space that seemed invisible and just made things happen. And I think it's just a bit more of an attacking balance with Keane.
Very nice, very nice. I just want to revisit the point on goal scoring one last time for Ryan Giggs, who... I'll just say, I think he's tremendously overrated. So he was a good player. I don't think he was fantastic, world-class, anything like that. I think he was good sort of the mid-90s when he was young and fresh, just seemed to go stale. And I think his goal stats back that up in that he might have been effective, I guess, but only as effective as some of the other people that are on the list. I think he had a big fan put in Alex Ferguson for his professional outlook, which I think is fine, other than his indiscretions with his brother's wife. But if you look at some of the guys in 2007-08, Matthew, he got 3 goals, Ryan Giggs, 3 goals in that Man United team. In, just to confirm, 2003, what are we on here? 2007-08. 2007-08, he played 31 games for Manchester United in the league and got 3 goals. In that season, Matthew Etherington got 3 goals. Or the Matt Derbyshire, which I think was a Blackburn lad, wasn't he? Got 3 goals.
He was, mate. Yeah, if you're comparing someone to Matt Derbyshire, you're giving him a, you know what I mean? You're basically hyping him up.
Nicky Butt got 3 goals. Norberto Salerno got 4 goals. Leon Osman, 4 goals. Sean Maloney for Wigan. four goals. Jermaine Jenas, four goals. I mean,
you know what? I think you're right. Stick Matthew Everington in there.
Morten Gams Pedersen, four goals. William Gallagher, four goals. Diouf, four goals. I mean, it's just, I think he was good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to suggest he was shite. But I think anyone that's going to be in an all-time Premier League 11 has to be contributing more to the bottom line of stats than three goals in a domestic season. And as I say, I mean, it's not just that season. 2008-09, he got two goals. 9-10, five goals. 10-11, two goals. 11-12, two goals. Even if you go back, you know, to when he had more legs, let's say. 1998 to 1999. Three goals. 99 to 2000, six goals. 2000-2001, five goals. Just not enough for me to be considered anywhere near when, as you both have pointed out, Ronaldo is just so, so much better than him. And
yeah, Ronaldo's in the team as well.
Yeah, but sorry, but even on the other side, if you were to pick someone else on the other side, you would be able to find someone like David Beckham, for example, someone who can contribute far more than Ryan Giggs did.
And that's why you get a shout at your team.
Stick get him in. So the three midfielders I've gone for are Patrick Vieira, Roy Keane and Paul Scholes. Vieira and Keane, I mean, I think they're the best box-to-box midfielders I've ever seen. I don't know why I said seen like that, seen. And Paul Scholes, I mean, he's G's favourite player of all time, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Surprised he left him out, actually.
Well, you know what? I'm going to leave him out because you can't even compare him to two guy. He was such a budget two guy. It's unreal. he just did nothing as well as two guy. So how you could put him in is, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he won titles better than two guy.
Yeah,
he scored more goals than him.
He didn't. He won't have scored more goals than him, without.
Would you like me to have a look?
Yeah, season by season, I'd imagine two guys score more.
Okay, let's have a quick look now. It's an interactive show, this. Oh my God. When you put on as well, two guy onto Wikipedia, into Google, the picture of him, honestly, he looks 80.
He won Turkish Celebrity MasterChef, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
And of course you know that because you've been following him post football.
Okay, let's have a look here just to take this debate on. So I've got Paul Scholes and two guys club careers next to each other for in England, I should say. So let's just compare the times that they were in the league together. So the first year that they played together, 2001-2002, Tugay got three goals and Paul Scholes got eight. The next year, Paul Scholes got 14 goals. Tugay got one. the next two seasons, Paul Scholes got nine in each. Tugay got two and zero. I mean, do I need to go on here?
That's not even possible.
He did not score. He did not score more goals than Paul Scholes, than two guy. All right. He didn't.
What do you mean it's not possible? What do you mean?
Because I've
watched a YouTube video of one free kick in 20 minutes.
How many goals have you got, two guy, over Torsal at Rovers? Did he have one season where he got 40?
No, he got. He played, oh my God, right. You played. Let me just find it here. 30-16. Yeah, that's right. He played 233 times for Rovers over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And he got 11 goals.
And I need to take gigs out. So
well, to be fair, what is the point of me debating that with you? What is the point?
Yeah, it's how he dictated the play, mate. It's how he dictated the play.
Yeah, no, and that might be right if that was your point that you were sticking to. But your point was actually there was nothing that Paul Scholes could do that two guy couldn't do better. A budget two guy, I think, were the words he used.
Yeah, well. Yeah, like you say, better players around him, obviously. Tuga would have played in that United team, yeah, it would have been a different story, I imagine.
To confirm, that was a point I made about a different player who also... So, yeah. All right, mate. Let's have a quick chat then about Patrick Vieira. Patrick Vieira, is he the last true box-to-box player, elite box-to-box player that we've had in the league?
No, because Steven Gerrard was after him, surely.
Good point. But the point is maintained, I guess, if we think, was there that many left? I mean, box-to-box midfielders do seem to have died now. It seems like you're either a holding midfielder or a 10, or what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think he was absolutely the epitome of box-to-box, wasn't he? That's all. He just fucking galloped from area to area all game, didn't he? And just a phenomenal player. He was the one very nearly put in, and I just chose Silva over him because him and Keane were two alike, I think. But just unbelievable footballer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I can't think of a box-to-box midfielder playing like today.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? That was the disappointment for me more than anything else as a neutral. As Paul Pogba's career has played out upon his return to Man United, because I watched him a little bit at Juventus and I just thought that this guy is unbelievable. He is a box-to-box player. And yeah, he's just crap.
Yeah, Torre, call him box-to-box.
Yeah, I would actually, yeah.
Yeah, very fair. Yeah.
All right, well, let's go to our forwards. You both have got two forwards. I've got three. G, who are your forwards?
Well, I think if you go top two, they basically pick themselves, don't you? So, number one, head and shoulders above anyone ever, Alan Shearer. I think we discussed this the other day, best striker of all time. Obviously, I've never watched Pelé, but from what I hear, he's playing Farmers. So for me, Alan Shearer.
Would you say that Alan Shearer was better than R9?
Yes. And I actually had a look at the goal records, and Shearer's does not compare to Ronaldo's at all. I'm sticking with it anyway.
Because it's not as good. I mean, that's what.
Yeah. Ronaldo's are much better. But then again, Ronaldo played for PS. Part of that were at PSV, part were at some Brazilian club. So he's
A lot of it was at Barcelona, Inter Milan, Real Madrid.
So it's hard to compare. Like, we're in agreement, it's hard to compare.
I agree. It is hard to compare. Yeah.
But yeah, she was just consistent over the years, always bagging in a lot of them years was playing a very lackluster Newcastle team who he basically dragged into the top four. Shearer and Terry Henry.
Yeah.
He's class, isn't he? I can't deny Henry. He was just class. Good to watch. Great finisher. Right. Shame he left, but Barcelona, innit?
Strangey, what about you? I would imagine that it's yours is close to G's in some way.
Yeah, exactly the same. Same to Shearer and Henry. Shearer, just a classic centre forward, all round centre forward. Had everything you wanted in a striker. He's just that, like I say, that out and out talisman. I think we discussed it the other day actually in the WhatsApp group. I actually think he's a little bit underrated, Shearer. I think he, when you talk about some of the players in this country who've come and gone, he don't really get mentioned a lot, but he's just a consistent top draw centre forward. Immense. And secondly, Thierry Henry. For me, I think the best player to play in the league for an extended period of time. Obviously, Ronaldo probably talent wise, but I think Henry's probably the best player you would say he's the number one player in Premier League history for me personally.
Better than Ronaldo. You said player there. That's the only reason I'm picking you up on that.
Yeah, this is the thing. I think Ronaldo is proven to be obviously one of the better players of all time. And certainly if you were listing best players of all time, you'd put him above Henry. Of course you would. But I think a lot of that obviously came after England, playing in England. He was obviously exceptional for one or two years here. But for a consistent period of time, Thierry Henry was just phenomenal. Just world class. Just the best. He was the best player in the league for several years in a row, I would say. And that just kind of gives him the edge in terms of that conversation for me. He just had everything that any attacking player could possess. He could just do anything, couldn't he? He could beat a man. He was brilliant on the ball, passing as well, creating. His finishing was just top draw. He was electric pace. Yeah, he's just brilliant.
Any honourable mentions from either of you?
Ikubu. Out and out goal scorer.
Yeah. I mean, he was brilliant for that 1 year at Everton, I have to say, when he got a bad knee injury. You know, it's 1 year and it's Everton, so shut up, G. my three are Ronaldo on the left. I put Henri, but honestly, it's him or Shearer. I really can't split them. I've just fudged it, really, with Henri. And on the right-hand side, I've gone David Beckham. Best crosser of the ball I have ever seen in my life. And that is it. I think honourable mentions would be, I don't know, someone like Duncan Ferguson.
Ian Taylor.
Duncan Ferguson. Mikel Arteta, Tim Cahill, you know.
Yeah.
Ian Taylor.
Robbie Savage. Greg Bellamy.
Yeah. Any Villa players, stranger, that you'd like in there?
Yeah, well, I nearly went with a two-man Villa midfield, actually, of Ian Taylor and Mark Draper. But I just thought they're a bit too similar.
Yeah,
so.
Fair. Very fair.
Yeah, you need the balance.
Well, there we go. We've done our 11. I'm sure the listeners will agree. A lot of thought went into that from Strangey and I. G, good lad. You got to the end there. Have you been drinking any Bath wine tonight?
I've not, no, not tonight. It's quite strange, isn't it, that you two put loads of effort in and my team's much better than both of yours.
Yeah. Gee, it's weird, that.
I was just about to say, G, how do you feel about Holmes has prepped and he's left Alan Shearer out of his team despite preparing? How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, I think that team just shows Holmes' football, I don't know, to say knowledge or stupidity.
Yeah.
But yeah, Leighton Baines whipping balls into Thierry Henry. That's gonna win anything.
Okay. Let's wrap that up. And before we have a look at in the final part of the show, last weekend, or the weekend that is playing out now, actually, with the last game this evening, we're gonna have a look at what happened. But over to Strangey. Have you got a sponsor for us this week?
Yes, mate. I've sorted one at the 11th hour when I was in the shower just before the show, because I realised I hadn't secured one. So yeah, just got on the phone very quick, and I've managed to piece something together. This week's show is sponsored by Jeff Kenner's Tackle Shop. So, Jeff, former professional footballer Jeff Kenner has opened up a series of angling shops because he's a keen flag. And he's got everything you need, from rods, poles, baits, hooks, fly fishers, every nets, landing nets, all that kind of stuff. He's got several sites around the Milton Keynes area. And anything you might need for all your fishing needs, yes. Visit jeffkennerstackleshop.com.
Two questions, mate. First one, why are all the sponsors that you managed to get weirdly former footballers?
I don't know, mate. I think the thing for me is, it can be a tricky transition back into normal life after being in the spotlight as a footballer for so long. And I want to shine the spotlight on these guys who are making a go of it with some honest businesses and keeping themselves
right, busy. Right.
Why are your 90s Blackburn players?
I'll be honest, I didn't know Jeff Kenner played for Blackburn. So,
he won the league at Blackburn, mate.
That was unintentional, but but yeah, I don't know why they are. They just reach out to me.
Who did you think he'd play for?
I can't remember. I just remembered his name. I'll be honest, I thought he had a stint at Charlton, but I might have been wrong.
My second question is, how do you know so much about equipment for fishing?
I know.
Well, he sent me a flyer with all the stuff they sell, and I've just read off that.
Oh, God. Brilliant. Okay, G, over to you. Thank you very much, Strangey, for getting those sponsors, as always. G, over to you for your section of the show. Just for all the listeners to know that G did his first section. He made his debut on Saturday. G's allowed to talk about anything he wants, whether it's football, whether it's chicken, gravy and broccoli. bath, wine, anything he wants. But unfortunately, the show did not make the airwaves. So, G, this is your second segment. You're obviously well-versed in it now. What do you want to talk about?
It's funny you say that, actually, because I'm glad there's 10 minutes left because I've not prepared anything. As you say, short notice, the other week was a banger at weekend, wasn't it? I couldn't think of anything that good. So I've got a proposition for the podcast.
Okay, go on.
And it's a bet between me, yourself, and Strange. Right. And we'll announce it next week. Basically, I'm thinking you pick exactly how you think the top 20 of the Premier League table will go this season. And then you get a point for every one you get right.
Right. So what you want to do is bet with us for something that's going to happen in 30 weeks' time.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Keep people engaged. Where are West Brom this week?
God. Right. Okay. Thanks for that, G. We'll mull that over and get back to you.
Yeah, cheers, pal.
Yeah, cheers. All right. Let's have a look at the results of the weekend. I mean, the obvious place to start is all right, let me get the fixtures up just to make sure. The obvious place to start is the big result at the weekend, and that was West Ham beating Sheffield United 1-0. Strange, what?
Absolutely.
Strange, what's going on at Sheffield United?
The shit, mate. The dead shit, aren't they? Because they've just bought a load of absolute truffle. Bad signings, I think. We touched on it earlier in the season. I think I said they'd go down on the first episode of the podcast. Obviously, standing by that, they're awful. I don't know really what's happened, though, because the style that Wilder brought to the league was so effective and difficult to sort of combat that It just seems like everyone's used to it now. Like everyone's looked at it, they've been done once by it, or they've dropped points to it last season. They're thinking, "Fucking hell, we need to do this." And I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be working anymore for them, does it? So, yeah, not good. Not good for Sheffield United.
Gee, are Burnley back now after the 1-0 win against Crystal Palace in the other big game of the weekend?
Are they back? Were exactly. back to being mediocre relegation fodder. Yes, I'd say they're still right there, man.
I mean,
I didn't watch the game, as I imagine no one in the world did. but yeah, no, it's. I saw Zaha weren't starting tonight, so I think Palace without Zaha, they're just blunt, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, could you name any other Crystal Palace player, G?
Scott Dan?
Yeah, give us another.
Mihailović.
That's him.
Captain. Yeah, good one.
I think Christian Benteke is still there, isn't he?
Yeah, keep going.
All right, well, I'll try and go through all teams, shall I? Who plays? Stingy Ward? Summit Ward?
Anyone else?
That's about it, mate. One of the IUs might be there. I'm not sure.
That's it. They've got five players, haven't they?
One of the IUs.
I missed that. One of the IUs. Oh, God. Let's play this game. George. George, name as many Burnley players as you can.
Chris Wood. does Jack Butland still play for him? Did he ever?
Jack Butland?
I don't think he's ever played for him, has he?
He seems like he'd fit in there. Joe Hart's definitely left. Robbie Earl? I don't know, mate. I don't know. Clutching at straws. Sean Dyche,
this shows the length and breadth of your football knowledge. George, tell us, give us some players that play for West Brom.
Oh God! Wait, they're very obscure teams. I actually watch West Brom as well, and I can't remember any of them.
Go on, mate.
I can't remember. Gary Megson's not there anymore, is he?
Gary Megson.
I've got a feeling one of them's called Robinson. I'm pretty sure there was a Robinson when I was watching it.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, he's shit.
He used to play Preston North End, actually.
Yeah, sums him up.
All right, give us some Brighton players.
Fucking Brighton, Jesus Christ. The teams I watch, I pay no attention to. Lapperty, he's a nice little player.
Lapperty?
Is that his name?
No, mate, his name's Lapperty.
Lampy. Yeah, same thing. God, yeah, more pie. More pies up there.
Did you say pork pie?
No, more pie.
More pie is all ratting.
Yeah, so there's him, and you've got Chris Potter pulling strings on such line. I want to say Jonathan Green. He's played.
Oh, my God.
I'm fairly sure he never played for Brighton either. All right, now you've done well here. Just give to round it off, mate. Give us some Fulham players.
Ruben Loftus-Cheek,
yeah.
Mitrovic,
yeah.
Areola,
yeah.
That lad who missed a penalty. Who's that? That other lad who missed a penalty.
Yeah, who are they?
Luckman missed the first one. Lad at weekend, no, I can't remember his name. Caviar or something.
Oh, well done, Jay. Well done. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of the podcast for this week.
Honestly, great finishing segment, that.
George, we'll just get you to do that every week, you idiot.
Yeah, but eventually we're gonna be into top six. I can name most of them. Yeah.
Before we go, name West Ham's last five managers, George.
Oh, right. David Moyes. Yeah. You know who I mean. He was at City.
No, you mean, because you've not said anything yet.
No, he was at City. They sacked him because he was actually shit. Foreign sounding name. I want to say he's from Chile.
Pellegrini,
yep. Him. Big Sam will be in the last five, as will Glenn Roeder.
Fucking hell.
And Alan Pardew, who's just been given a job in Russia, I believe, as a director of football. Interesting fact on the show.
Did you not think to name current West Brom manager Slaven Bilic, mate, who managed them about 2 years ago?
I did not think to mention him, no.
Okay. Fantastic.
All right, guys. Well done. And we will see everyone, or we will be talking our usual shit to everyone next Saturday on Tales of Togger. Say bye, guys.